Hey, everybody. This is Michael Worthington, and I'm back with you today interviewing Willie Crawford, who I like to call the hardest working man in internet marketing, regardless of what he says, on how to win more affiliate sales contests. And I'm recording this outside the ballpark. I'm waiting on my grandson to play ball, so we may have a little racket if there is. I apologize, but I'm trying to fit in two things at once here. You know what I mean, Willie?
I know what you mean, and in fact, part of the internet lifestyle is being able to spend more time with the kids or the grandkids, and I spend a lot of time with my grandkids, so I totally appreciate that. You know, that you, I'm sorry, that you can do that.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll get back to it then. Now, Willie had been selling affiliate products since way before I ever met him, since about 96 or so, and he's seen a lot of affiliate promotions and sales contests and has won a bunch of these contests. So I'm really, I got him to agree to this interview, and I'm really looking forward to learning from one of the true masters of the affiliate marketing arena. And we're both crazy busy these days, crazy busy, just super busy these days, Willie. Let me just do away with the back slapping, and let's get right to the meat of the interview.
Okay.
Now, my first question for you, and may be fairly obvious to some people, and then again, maybe not, depending on what you've got to say, but first of all, why do affiliate program operators, I can't say it with a mouthful, have affiliate sales contests in the first place?
Well, most people who are just watching from the sideline don't realize the amount of competition that most affiliate program operators face, but there's some weeks there's probably 100 different products being released in some spaces, and so it's actually pretty hard for them to get their product noticed and to get enough excitement, enough momentum to give their product a good chance of succeeding. And so they use affiliate sales contests to create excitement, to get people in the marketplace, especially affiliates talking about it, because once they get that momentum going, then it's easier to get more affiliates on board. So it's to get their promotion noticed. It's to tap into the testosterone, if you will, or the competitive nature of some of these super affiliates who just like to outdo their buddies. And it's to make us choose promoting their product over all the other choices out there. You know, if you can get prizes plus the commissions or just commissions, well, people are going to tend to go for prizes plus the commissions.
So it's basically one of the reasons is to make their product stand out from the crowd and be noticed amidst all the noise that's going on. I mean, everybody gets... When there's a new product comes out, everybody gets, what, at least two or three dozen emails about a given program at any one time. So it's just...
It's to get the affiliates excited more so than the customers. So it's before the launch, these potential affiliates are getting approached. I go on someplace like the Warrior Forum, and I may have 20 notes waiting for me, ask me to look at some product and consider promoting it, with, you know, even free review copies. And I'll go over to Facebook, and there's other people asking me if I have time to look at some product, and then I get emails, and I get help desk tickets, and I get Skype notes, all people saying, can you take a look at my product, maybe try to fit in the promotion, and I can only promote so many products, and so it's that competition, and I have to ask myself, you know, which products am I going to make time to look at, and why, and having a sales contest is just one of the things that sets a given product apart.
Okay, I got you. Good deal. All right, well, we'll move on then. My next question is, what types of prizes can you win in these contests?
Yeah, there's all kinds of crazy prizes. Electronics are pretty common, computers and cameras and gadgets like that, some even James Bond-style gadgets. Reciprocal promotions are big because the people doing product launches understand that they're dealing with affiliate marketers who often have the products of their own, and so they're thinking, well, if you mail for me, I'll mail for you. And so the big dogs will say, well, I can't mail for everybody, but if you work really hard and you promote for me and you're near the top, then I'll do it reciprocal promotion. We see that quite a bit. I see trips. My friend Maria Godelis just gave away a week in a nice house with maids and butlers and all that stuff in Costa Rica. So trips are common. I've seen cars given away.
Yeah.
I've seen motorcycles.
Sean Casey and Tillman Knudsen gave away a Ferrari one time, I think I remember.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I've seen quite a few motorcycles being offered. Cash is a popular prize, and it makes sense because, especially if you have a lot of affiliates overseas, maybe they don't want something that may not fit into their local environment. Like I used to watch people give TVs away. Well, the electricity and the type of television signal they can pick up in the UK and a lot of other countries is not the same as in America. So American TVs don't work in some of those places without converters. So a lot of people would rather have cash. And I'm actually promoting a product right now where you can win cash up to $100,000. In fact, that's a top prize in that contest. And that got me quite excited. Product owners, really, they survey their affiliates and their launch experts. For example, I work with a joint venture broker. When I'm working with a client, they'll come to me a lot of time and say, do you think I need to run a sales contest? And if I do, what do you think I should offer? And I have to think, well, what got people excited the last time I watched it and what didn't get people excited? You know, because in some places, some circles, they've seen the same prizes over and over and over enough where it doesn't mean much to them. So it's really what do the affiliates want, and cash seems to be the most popular prize.
Damn, $100,000.
Yeah.
I don't suppose that you let me in on that. I mean, how can somebody afford to give away $100,000?
Yeah, you really have to know your numbers. I've watched people launching products where they screwed that up, and they ended up spending more money than they made. And so if you're doing a product launch, you need to put some protective measures in place to make sure you make enough money to cover the prizes you're giving away. And so the smarter people, they calculate, you know, okay, if I make this many sales, I can afford to spend this much on prizes. And then they put qualifiers in place. So they'll, you know, announce that, yeah, I'm giving away a car or this or that, but that's provided I make so many sales or the winner makes so many sales. So that's how they can afford to do that. And, the merchants often make plans on following up with the buyers of the product on the front end. And so they know that while they might give away most of their front end profits, they can make it up on the back end, you know, with other sales when they follow up with them. So they're not going to lose money there. At the same time, I mentioned that guy giving away $100,000 in a prize. The reason that I actually liked his promotion was he doesn't believe in stealing your list members and following up and making sales and not paying affiliates. He believes that affiliates are true partners, and that if he makes any sales to them anytime, he should give lifetime commission. So that was a big part of what made me excited about that. I remember many years ago, my friend Jason Potter actually rolling out a product, and I remember him making a big deal about not harvesting your list or stealing your affiliates. And I remember Jeff Walker talking about the same thing, where, you know, when they do a product launch and they're getting all your best customers on their list, they can turn around and sell them other products and even compete against you. And a lot of these guys are saying, I won't do that. And this one guy who's giving away the $100,000 thing, he said, basically, I'll tag all of your affiliates, all your referrals, and then I'll pay you commissions for life on any product they buy from me forever. So you don't have to worry about it. Actually, what I like about that whole model, and Yannick Silver uses it too, is you can work your butt off to send them a lot of traffic, hoping to make sales. And even if you don't make sales right away, you know that when they go back later and do another launch, they'll still give you credit for the sale. So, again, they make it worthwhile to promote them. And that incentivizes the affiliate to push harder. Now, as far as you getting in on the promotion, I don't really see a reason not to. I'm actually jumping ahead of myself. But I don't mind, you know, a little friendly competition, and I'm not worried about being beat, and I don't really want to make you have to edit this audio. So what I'll do is I'll actually let everybody listening in on this. And so what they can do is they can go to my blog at williecrawford.com/blog2/JV. And that needs to be all lowercase. So williecrawford.com, that's easy to remember, /blog, and the number 2, and then /JV, all lowercase. And what I'll do is I'll set up a password protected post there so that the random server who hasn't listened to this, this interview won't have a clue what it's about and can't read it. But others have to enter the password, which is Michael, and that'll be all lowercase too. So your name, Michael, and they can read about that one particular giveaway where there is a $100,000 prize being offered. I don't have a problem with that. So again, williecrawford.com/blog2/JV, and then the password is Michael, and they can read about that. And I'll share that one. But since I'm doing a favor for the listeners, I will also ask that they at least think about subscribing to my newsletter. And one of the reasons I like doing these interviews is I am an email marketer, so I do like building my list. And so, since I've already told you my domain is williecrawford.com, I may as well say, if you just go to williecrawford.com, you can sign up for my newsletter. I don't require you to do that, though. I mean, you can go and read that password protected post, and I'm not holding you hostage there. But I do hope that you'll also see the value of the information that I give and how openly I share, and that you'll, you know, think, well, let me check out what else he shares with you. So feel free to join my newsletter at the same time. And with that, I'll end my pitch.
Okay. Well, let's get into how you personally win these sales contests now. How about giving us your top number one secret?
Okay. And I know that my competitors are all going to hear this, but that's fine. Over and over and over again, I've watched people in affiliate sales contests, and the ones who win almost without a doubt, they give a bonus. The reason that that works is that when you look at a big product launch where you got, say, hundreds or even thousands or even just 20, 30 people who are really working effectively promoting a product, the subscribers have a choice of who they can buy from, so it's really a commodity because they can buy from anybody and they get the same product. What makes it different is the bonuses that some people offer. So the way you win a sales contest is by distinguishing yourself and making, you know, making it more desirable for them to buy from you. So that's the number one way to win affiliate sales contest, is to offer a bonus. Now, the secret is to offer something that's hopefully related to the product and that has a high perceived value but it doesn't cost you a lot. And when I say cost you a lot, I mean a lot in money. But also, I'm big on it not costing me a lot in time. For example, if I'm selling a $17 ebook, I don't want to offer you a bonus of, you know, me spending hours on the phone with you. That's sort of crazy. So, you know, I like something original, so I'll often maybe offer a recording or something like that that I did just for the launch, or I may ask the product owner himself or herself will do an interview with me where we do a one-hour call or two-hour call delivering value, but it doesn't take much more than an hour, and if I get enough customers, spread across those customers, it's really not a big cost. So maybe that, or maybe I'll create an original product. You can start with something that's PLR, for example, just some software or ebook or course or even some audio or video. You can edit it. You can make it your own. But it doesn't have to cost a lot. The thing is, you need to consider throwing in a bonus just to distinguish yourself from all the other people selling the product, the same product.
Okay. Well, how about another trick or tactic that you use that you really like?
Okay. This is not a tactic. Tactic is a good word, actually. I like to sort of conceal what I'm doing as much as possible because what I've noticed is that when there's a sales contest going on, it's in the product owner's best interest to get all the affiliates all pumped up, and so they'll play them off one against the other. But what I've noticed is they'll often tell the other affiliates in a little email to the affiliates, get them pumped up, what the ones who are winning are doing you know, they'll say, well, you know, Willie's giving away this, or Willie just sent an email out that said this. And I'm like, don't do that. Why would, you know, you're taking away my competitive advantage. And so I like to unsubscribe the product out of my list, and I like to unsubscribe my competitors too. You know, I don't mind, I want them as subscribers, but I don't want them monitoring everything I do in this competition where I'm trying to beat them. I want some tactical surprise. You know, I come from a military background where you win by the enemy not knowing you're sneaking up on them.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah, so, you know, I, for example, I've got lists on one shopping cart, for example. Well, so easy enough for you to log in there and find the names I'm looking for and just uncheck that particular list name, and I haven't deleted it from my database. I've just unsubscribed for a couple of issues. I go back later if I want to, or I get an assistant to it, and resubscribe if I want to, but I don't want them knowing what I'm doing. So I try as best I can to conceal what I'm doing from my competitors and from the product owner at times, because product owners, again, they like to tell what you're doing.
Okay.
And I'm sure most people don't go to the trouble of doing that.
Yeah. So you've got to set things up in advance to help
right.
you win.
Yeah, we get notified, any affiliate who's successful enough as an affiliate marketer where people really, really target you, they'll let you know as far enough in advance as possible because they want you to flow it into your schedule. And I use that advance notice to prepare for the launch. And so I go as far as to set up blogs and what we call parasite sites. These are those free places that let you set up a site, Tumblr and all those types of places where you can set up a blog or a mini site or something, and it won't cost you anything. But some of those sites rank sort of high in the search engines. And I'm doing two things there. One is I'm actually trying to build some search engine ranking on the keywords, knowing that if people are just searching for the product name, I might get some type in traffic and make sales from that. But I'm also I'm putting articles out there and things like that so that I will help people who are looking for what's being said about the product to find it and hopefully buy from me. I'll also do something sometimes as aggressive enough as creating a separate low-ticket product and rolling it out, maybe even giving away 100% commission to get other people to send me traffic to sell this product. So I may, you know, be selling something on SEO. So I may create a $7 report that I sell on the Warrior Forum or some other place, maybe using Rapid Action Profit or something, and give affiliates 100% on the front end so that other people are pushing me traffic, and then I take that traffic and point it at my real target, which is the affiliate product that I'm in the competition for, and then I show them that other product, maybe as a not as an OTO because it's not my product, but I'll show it on the download page. I'll mention it and follow up autoresponder message, you know, to thank you for buying or whatever messages. I will at times incorporated in the product. So say I'm pushing a $900 course on SEO, so I roll out a $7 ebook on SEO. I may somewhere in the text in the ebook recommend the course or mention the course and something about the course. So I, even in the product, I'm pointing to it. I also often if I deliver the product as a zip file, I'll add extra files to the zip file. So I may add an HTML shortcut that, you know, says something enticing. When they click on it, it takes them over to check out the affiliate product. I may do something like that or include it just a PDF that talks about the product or something. So all of what I'm doing there is I'm letting other people send me traffic so that without them even realizing it, they're helping me with the sales contest. You know, and they don't mind because they're getting paid, you know, commission for making the sale. So I'm basically paying for traffic there, but I'm paying for it in a way where it's not costing me anything directly.
Yeah, I remember when Jeff Walker released his product launch formula 2, you even went so far as to buy a new domain. What was it? the best product launch formula 2 bonuses or something like that?
Yeah, I did. What I did there, actually, and that's interesting, what I did there was I knew that people actually were going to say to themselves, who has the best product launch formula bonus? And so my website used the keyword product launch formula bonus in the domain name so that people typing in, looking through the search engine for the best product launch formula bonus would find my site. And then I invited other people selling product launch formula to list their bonus on this blog I created to make it rank even higher for product launch formula bonuses. I didn't care that people could compare because I wanted to rank for the term and let those who were doing the type-in searching just find my site and hopefully buy because I thought my bonus was pretty good. And it worked. I was in the top 10. I know, and Jeff had a special party in Las Vegas for all of his top affiliates, and he had prizes, cash prizes. So it was a very successful way of doing things. But, yeah, I very often buy a promotional domain, and usually it's keyword rich.
So you really do a lot of advanced preparation. I mean, well, however much time you've got in advance, you start as soon as you decide, yes, I'm going to promote this, you start right then.
Yeah, I do. I ask, how can I position for the launch? How can I get noticed? How can I find those people searching for product reviews, for the product name, for information about the product creator? And so I'll often write articles. I write press releases. I buy a promotional domain. I create ebooks that talk about the problem that the product solves, so I can recommend solutions in the ebook to include that product. I create videos, and the reason I create videos, several reasons, but one is because Google often shows the videos in this organic search results above just words or web pages, and so I want my videos listed on the front page in Google. Also, even if my video is like number 5, when somebody looks at the search results, their eyes are naturally drawn to pictures, and so they see 5 other pages listed above mine, but they see this one video, and they think, well, why don't I watch what the video has to say about this rather than reading all these other pages? So the video will win out often over a lot of higher-ranked pages. I'll go to the product owner, and I'll say, can I do an interview with you for a radio show or for maybe a webinar? Again, I'm looking for there actually positioning myself to my audience as I know the product owner well enough that I actually know them and know their product, because so many people say, well, my good buddy Mike Fulsame is releasing a product, and people read that in the email and go, yeah, right, you know Mike Fulsame. Well, if you actually interview Mike Fulsame and Mike sounds like in the interview, hey, Willie, you know, it's good talking to you, whatever. Well, then people buy that, and they're more likely to buy from you just because of your connection, and they believe more that you've actually looked at the product and that you know the product owner, you know the quality of the product. So getting interviews isn't always easy, but if you ask far enough in advance before a lot of others have, they're more likely to say yes. And so, again, that's about positioning in advance as far as practical. And, in fact, you know, maybe you can pre-record an interview that you play back later, even as a radio show. For example, I have a blog, talk radio show. The platform lets me upload pre-recorded audios and tell it when to play. So I could record an interview 3 months in advance and then play it back during launch day or during launch week, and it'll have a lot of power in the marketplace.
Cool. So, well, as busy as you are and as many products you promote, how can you find the time, or how can you put so much time and energy into all these products?
I don't put a lot of time to a lot of products. What I do is I say, okay, I can promote, you know, 5 or 10 different products, and I won't really stand out for any of them, or I can pick just one. And in the military, we call it concentrating firepower. You know, if I were fighting an enemy who's hiding behind a wall and I got a gun, I can shoot all along that wall and make little tiny chips in the wall, or I can just concentrate all my firepower on one point and I'm more likely to break through by wearing a hole in that spot. So that's how I treat affiliate marketing is, let me find one product I really, really, really believe in, that I really know will benefit my customers, that I know the sales page converts well, and then I focus on that one product for a short time and ignore all the other competing products. Don't worry about missing out on other launches. You know, all my competitors are probably promoting numerous products. In fact, I'm counting on them doing that. Let them promote five products in that week or two-week period, and let me focus on one or two products, and I'm going to outsell them on those one or two products because they're spread too thin. So that's what I do. I pick one product, and that is the big key. Just pick one product and focus on it, and don't worry about all the others, and you'll make a lot more sales, and you'll win the sales contest.
Uh-huh. So basically, I mean, you just touched on some of it, but if you're going to focus on one product, how do you decide which one?
Yeah, I mentioned it has to work because my customers are spending their hard-earned money, and I want them to continue buying from me, and I want them to be successful. So my first criteria is that the product work. My second criteria is that the sales page convert. I mean, there are some great products out there where when you read the sales page or watch all the promotional material, it just doesn't work. And so you're wasting your time pushing traffic to a sales page that's not believable or has something wrong with it. So that's number two. And number three, as I've already mentioned, I look for products that offer lifetime commissions. I want to know that if my customers go over and say they opt in some form or whatever, and they don't buy, if this person's promoting another product later on, I want to get credit for sales to that same customer because that person's then on their list. Even if they didn't buy the first product, I've put them on that list, so I want lifetime commissions. And so I look for people who offer lifetime commissions. It's really important to me because I put so much effort into putting all these articles and press releases and blog posts and things like that, social media posts out there. I'm creating all these signposts pointing to this merchant. I want credit when the person I put on his or her list buys, so that's really important to me. I prefer bigger ticket. You know, it's honestly no harder to sell $997 product than it is to sell a $197 product, or a $97 product. So I figure if I'm going to work really hard, I may as well go bigger ticket. I also look for product owners that I trust because most people don't think about or think about to the extent that all affiliate tracking software is in some way flawed. And so whether it's cookies being deleted, whether it's just something in the query string being passed to the software, whether something's wrong, something hiccups somewhere, a certain percentage of affiliate sales over time aren't going to be credited to affiliates. And, they drop out for different reasons. So I want a merchant who goes out of his way to make sure I'm credited with the sale. For example, one who doesn't just depend on cookies, knowing that people delete their cookies from their browsers and want to do virus scans or whatever. So I want somebody that's, tagging my referral and tracking them via email or IP or whatever else. So I look for that, too. I want to know that the person is taking care of the affiliate, that they put their affiliates first and think of their affiliates as real joint venture partners. That's how I choose whose product I promote. If I see somebody who says, we got a 15-day cookie, well, that's crazy, I'm working all this really hard to send you somebody, and that person buys a month later. I don't get credit for the sale. That's crazy. And there's people who do that, though.
Yeah, Marlon Sanders, I believe, he's the first one that I remember using lifetime cookies on his products. But I noticed a lot of people are doing that now, but that at the same time, I know what you're talking about, the limited, 15-day, 30-day cookies, 60-day, whatever. But I want to ask you a question right now, and I don't want to sidetrack you too bad, but you're talking about the bigger ticket products. Now, this involves a lot of for lack of a better word, extreme targeting. Am I right? I mean, everybody is not your customer. Everybody is for a $1,000 product. So you have
that's correct.
You have to fine tune and pinpoint those people that are a candidate for that type of product. Am I right?
Yes and no. On every list, you know, if you've got a list, whether it's 100 or 10,000, there's people on that list that are probably at a point in their business building cycle where they're ready to spend $1,000 on a product or $10,000 on a product if that product is going to solve a problem that's big enough. And so to assume that even if your customers have been buying mostly $17 products, to assume that they won't buy a $1,000 product is bad, because if you don't offer a $1,000 product, then somebody else will, and your customers are buying that same product from someone else. You know, so as long as the product delivers the value, then I have no problem with offering bigger ticket products, even to a list where most people have been conditioned to buy smaller products. And the reason is, most of those smaller products offer solutions to small problems for the most part. And when somebody's ready to say, okay, I'm going to bite the bullet and go in whole hog and embrace a complete system and actually go through it, then they're willing to spend the money that it takes to get their business off the ground and rolling at a faster pace.
So basically then it's just a matter of showing them the value.
Right. And that's, I mean, it's never a price objection. People, I mean, if I say to you, you know, my product's $20,000, but it's going to make you $200,000 in the next 6 months, you'll find a way to get that $20,000, you know, whether you got to borrow it from a relative or you know, I don't know, sell your car or something. If you convince that you're going to get the value back, you'll do that. And so it's not a price objection. It's the customer not seeing the value, and so your job as a salesperson is to make sure the value is there and then to clearly show that the customer is going to get that using what I like to use what J. Abraham calls future pacing, where you let the customer see what life's going to be like in the future after they've used the product and gotten the results. You know, you paint a picture of them, what their life's going to look like afterwards, and that works very effectively for me.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. That was a question I had. It came to me while you were talking there. But anyway,
okay.
We'll get back on track now. So define big ticket. What do you mean by big ticket item?
Yeah, big ticket means different things to different people. I personally have a $10,000 product, which is my joint venture broker training. It's mostly a home study course. And I have a $50,000 product, which is consulting for local small business owners where the business owner is already making maybe over $1 million, and they are saying, I need to do something on the internet, and I don't understand this internet stuff, and they basically want me on the hook on the phone. And so I offer those products. I don't sell those products every day, of course, and don't want to, because they're very time intensive, because I'm offering my personal attention. But I do offer those products, and because I offer those products, in promoting any product, I'm foregoing the opportunity to promote my own stuff. So I like to focus on stuff that's like $997 and up. That to me is big ticket. I do sell a $15,000 affiliate product, for example, that pays a $5,000 commission. So that's big ticket to me. To some people, big ticket is probably anything above, you know, $197 or $497. It's all relative. But to me, $997 and up is how I define big ticket.
$15,000. You going to let me in on that one, too?
Yeah, I'll share it. On the blog, a link I gave earlier, which was willycrawford.com/blog2/JV, all lowercase. That's willycrawford.com/blog2. That's the number 2/JV, all lowercase, and they're going to need a password. We've used your name, Michael, in lowercase too. And that lets, you know, people that just stumble across the blog aren't going to know what that is. They can't see it. But if you type that in, it shows you. And I'll list those two items I promised. One was the promotion where there's a prize of $100,000. And this one is a $15,000 product. It's actually a coaching program that's sold on a webinar. And very effectively, actually. And you get $5,000 per sale, you know. So just think about that. You go out and you invite people from, I don't know, Facebook, and 20 people show up and one buys. Just for making a Facebook post, you've just made $5,000, you know.
Yeah.
A big ticket's worth the trouble. You know?
That's cool in anybody's language. Let me make a quick note here. Now, the password, Michael, is M-I-C-H-A-E-L.
That's right.
And not E-A-L. There's different spellings for it, but mine is M-I-C-H-A-E-L.
My friend Michael Savoy, who uses the French Canadian spelling. Yeah.
Michael Fortin. He doesn't use the A at all.
Well, yeah. He, Michael Fortin is also French Canadian, so that's why it's spelled differently there too. In fact, it's Michelle.
Yeah, right. That's what I was going to say. The real pronunciation should be Michelle, but what guy wants to be called Michelle, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, getting back on track. When you talk about winning a sales contest, you do a lot of promoting to your own list. But what if you don't have a list?
Well, if you don't have a list, you first of all can't use that as an excuse. So you got to think, well, how do I get people's attention? And I've already mentioned social media. Everybody's brother's on Facebook, for example. Facebook, there's only 330 or 350 million people in America, but Facebook's forecast to hit 1 billion people in September. So everybody is on social media. I mean, I spent 3 weeks in the Philippines, which has, I think, the highest percentage of the population on social media or on Facebook of any country in the world. And everybody, people had no internet. They had cell phones. They were on Facebook. So, in fact, I did a exercise back in January where I wanted to show people how you could earn $100,000 online, even if you didn't have a big list or name recognition and all that. And I focused on social media and solo ads and managed to pull off $100,000 in sales in a month without mailing to a large database or using JV partners and all that. So social media is big. I do, and I would if I were promoting and didn't have a list, post events on Facebook. There's a link that says event, and you basically describe what it is. And so the event for me was usually a webinar that I was inviting people to for a bigger ticket item, but the event could be a product launch. The event could be somebody launching an ebook or a course or hosting a webinar or teaching something. So that fits nicely within the definition of an event, and then you can invite your friends on social media. I also share on LinkedIn, on Twitter, on Pinterest, on YouTube, again with videos, Pinterest. I would grab pictures of the product or the product owner and post them to Pinterest, linking back to the product as I talk about it. It's a very visual thing. And Pinterest interfaces with Facebook, so it'll post those same pictures and links to Facebook. I would use solo ads, and I do use solo ads, in fact. You can swap. You can do email swaps, swap solo mailings of the publishers. In fact, that's the way a lot of smaller internet marketers in particular build their list. They're basically swapping databases, but you know, you say to somebody else, I'll mail for you next week if you'll mail for me this week, and you're exposing your list members to their products or them, and they're doing vice versa for you. It's mutually beneficial. You have to acknowledge that your subscribers are on other lists anyway, so it's not like you're risking losing your subscribers unless that other newsletter is so much better than yours, and that tells me you need to fix your problem. But ad swaps do work quite well. And what I think of that, where you're swapping ads, again, it goes back to you're really focusing on trying to generate a lot of traffic in a short time frame so that you can win this contest, which is the topic of this discussion. So you say to your buddies, I'll mail for you next week or week after next. Can you mail for me now? So that you're trying to push traffic now and get it all in a concentrated time frame so you can make a lot more sales in that short time frame. And then later on, then you can, you know, pay back what you owe them. So I would do that. I do use article marketing, which still works beautifully. Article marketing isn't talking about the product and saying, go buy my product. That's an ad or an advertorial. Article marketing, as I use it, is using what it's copywriting still. I use what I call the problem agitate solution formula, which is the article is about the problem. It's about the problem that the product solves. So I look at what product, you know, what the product I'm promoting, what problems that product solve, and I talk about that problem, and I talk about it in a way where people say, yeah, I've got a problem with this, and you agitate by pointing out in excruciating detail how their life is not going to get any better, and in fact may even get worse unless they fix that problem. So it's problem, then agitate, you know, stir salt into the wound by pointing out, if you don't fix this problem, you know, your business isn't going to get any better, your relationship or your health or whatever is going to get any better. And then the solution is at the bottom of the article, you say, here is a solution. And that's where you point to the product. And you can do that depending on where you distribute your article. You can do it in the body of the article. But if you're trying to push it out to places where they won't let you do that, then you just put it in the resource box. And so that's how I would do it, though. I would use solo ads, a lot of social media, because that's where people are at. But you got to do it in a way where you're actually engaging them. And then and the other methods I mentioned.
Uh-huh. Well, now, in watching a lot of these product launches and all these affiliate contests and everything, it seems to me that some people, they spend a lot of money trying to win these things. I mean, don't they just basically give away all their commissions?
Yeah, they do. And at times, I look at it and I shake my head and I say, well, I'm not going to just give away all my commissions. I remember my friend, Cody Moria, once giving away, what was it? It was like an off-road, like the vehicles like hunters use, you know, the trikes. I watched people giving away prizes that at least equal the value of their commissions. And what those people were doing often was the top prize was valuable enough that they figured, okay, I can afford to give away all the money on the front end and still get the cash prize or sell the prize I get and have a profit. But what they're looking at, I think many of them more so, it's an ego thing. It's bragging rights. It's the right to say, look, I'm one of the top affiliates for Jeff Walker or John Reese or Mike Kilsain's launch. And, you know, every other affiliate in that niche, in that space, will look at them and say, wow, you know, this guy can move product. This guy can make things happen. He's a big dog, and so they all want to deal with you. And at that point, you've got all these people approaching you about doing joint ventures.
And if you're an unknown, that's going to get the attention of the product owner, just that in itself.
Yeah, I mean, the product owner may have never heard of you, but all of a sudden they've got this leaderboard. It's like, whoa, you know, Michael Worthington's number three. Well, who is this Michael Worthington guy, you know? And you know, what's he doing, you know? And all of a sudden, they know who you are. Other people in their space who get ready to launch products know who you are. They're making a list of who am I going to approach about being an affiliate. And so you, at that point, have become a player. Also, with a lot of these product owners, they know that when they approach somebody who's also thinking about releasing a product, that all the other super affiliates who are product creators are looking for reciprocity. They know that. So, and they also know they can't mail for all the other super affiliates who are releasing products. And so they say, they dangle a carrot and say, if you're one of my top three or top five, then I'll offer you a reciprocal mailing provided your product, you know, meets certain criteria. So even though they're maybe not committing, but a lot of times they commit, they say, you know, the top three will give you a reciprocal mailing to the entire buyer database or to their list or whatever. And so it's worth it to focus on winning, especially if you're a smaller player and don't have a huge list, just for the reciprocal mailing. And then I would take that reciprocal mailing and use it to, you can promote a product, but I would probably give away something to harvest that other person's list. You know, I'd offer a free report, a free ebook, free audio, whatever, so that all those people come over, all those proven buyers, if they're mailed to their buyer list, come over, opt into your list to get this free gift, and all of a sudden you've doubled or tripled the size of your list. So just from really focusing for this one promotion, you've all of a sudden built a database that now makes you, you know, a force to reckon with.
Yeah, I remember Mike Fieldsame told me, it's been 5 or 6 years ago now in Orlando at one of Penland's conferences, that having a list of 100 buyers is better than having 5,000 subscribers.
Absolutely. I mean, because buyers, some of them are rapid buyers who just buy over and over and over again, which isn't always good for them because they keep buying stuff and don't even give themselves time to use it. But, yeah, 100 buyers is much better than a list of 5,000 people who never buy and you know, make all kinds of demands. But getting back to your question, the big prize in my eyes is reciprocity. And so it's worth giving up most of the front-end commissions or profits for the reciprocal mailing, in my eyes.
Yeah. Let's see. Here I am stumbling over my tongue. Okay, you've covered that pretty good. Are there any other tips or tricks that you want to share that you wouldn't mind sharing that you haven't covered so far?
Yeah, and I can see we're winding down somewhat. One of the things I did back in January was I had like 5,000 friends on Facebook, which is the max you can have other than on fan pages. And yet I realized I really needed to expand my reach. And so I got a little audacious and asked friends at times to share links. So I'm pushing traffic to a webinar that's going to sell some product, and I would say to friends, you know, can you invite your followers to share my link or to visit my free training or whatever? And so friends did that. I ran a contest. You can run a contest. I ran one using a program called Contest Burner, which is basically a WordPress plugin. And Contest Burner lets people grab your link, which is identified with their name and an email or whatever in the database, and they can share it all over. And for each time they share it on Facebook, on Twitter, or anywhere in cyberspace, or they post videos with the link in it, the software recognizes that link out there and it gives them points. And then you can have the software automatically select the winner based on total points or just do a random draw. And so I ran actually 2 or 3 contests where I gave away iPads and things like that as prizes, not for my own product launch, but for other product launches where I said to myself, okay, so I'll give away a $300, $400 iPad for a prize that's worth $5,000 or $10,000.
So, and did it work?
Yes, it worked. Yeah, it sure did. You know, in one of the promotions, I more or less broke even, but I came in second place in a competition at the same time. And so even there, it was worth it to me because it created some caused the product owner to owe me favors in the future because I pushed a lot of business their way. It got me more attention in the marketplace. It showed people that I can move a lot of product without having to, you know, use. At that time, I was trying to do things without using my large database, and so I did that. So Contest Burner, I've noticed people who are smaller players sometimes partnering with other people, and to an extent I have a problem with that because if you've got an affiliate sales contest and you've got, you know, 30 people who are real contenders and 28 of them are just individuals and then you got 2 pairs of 2, well, to me the 2 pairs of 2 are 4 people, you know.
Yeah.
And so if I'm competing against 2 people who combine their lists and they're both mailing as one, you know, to me that there was a slight disconnect there, but it's allowed. And so you may want to think, well, I'll partner with someone and we can promote together, and then you decide how to split whatever prizes you win. I'm not sure how they do that, but I see it done all the time, and those people do place quite high. You know, I can see if you have been working with this person all along and you have a partnership, you created products together or a site together, but I see a lot of people whose names I've never seen even associated with each other who all of a sudden, you know, listed on the leaderboard as partners. And, you know, if the product owner lets it happen, then I guess it's okay. But to me, it's slightly problematic. So, but it's something you can do. You know, it gives you an advantage. The other thing is I like doing demo videos. You know, a part of selling a lot of products, especially software, is, you know, the software's got to solve a problem, but people read the sales page and they think, wow, this sounds great. And they think, well, yeah, you can do it because you're a little techie or whatever, but I can't do it. And so the biggest objection you have to overcome with software in particular is people thinking, I believe the product can do what you say it can do. I believe that it does it for you, but I don't believe I can do it. And so a video demonstration showing them, letting them watch over your shoulder as you do it, letting them see how easy it is, will often convert a lot of those people. So one of my favorite tricks with software is to log into the software and do a video demo, and then I often post that video on YouTube, so I'm grabbing YouTube traffic too. So that's another one of my tricks.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, like you said, we're getting close here, but I got one more question.
Okay.
Well, actually, I got a couple more, but anyways.
We've got as much time as you need.
How do you find out about these launches ahead of time?
Once you've got a name out there, then people will be approaching you, and you won't have any problem finding the contest. But until you do, one place to look is JV Notify Pro. My friend Mike Mers, who's been a JV broker probably for about 10 years, has a site where people planning product launches go, and they list their product launches, and Mike sends a newsletter out that announces who's doing product launches, and his typical newsletter will announce 5 to 10 product launches that are coming up. And when you go to the membership site and you log in on a discussion forum, there's a listing of all these people planning product launches, and it tells about their dates and the prices and the product funnel and upsells and downsells and commissions and contests. So you can read that on his site. That is a good place, especially for internet marketers to go, because most of the products are internet marketing products.
Is this a paid site?
Mike recently went to a paid model. He has free access and he has paid access. The paid members get a few more benefits, but there's free access too, because, you know, he wants people launching products to be able to tell others about it. So there's a free membership too,
okay,
but the paid members get more. Again, he changed his model 6 months ago, but I visit the site quite often. I'm on his mailing list too, so I get announcements of all these upcoming product launches with a list of prizes, and you can look at them. I do look, first of all, at the product. You know, is this something I want to promote? Because the prizes are irrelevant if it's going to harm my relationship with my subscribers or harm my subscribers.
Yep.
So I do look at the product first. And then I look at, you know, all things being equal, what's going to make me the most money and have some nicest prizes. So I do look at that. I personally have formed two groups on Facebook where they have different purposes. One group's called Big Ticket Affiliate Products. People can just go to Facebook and just type those keywords in, and they should be able to find my group on Facebook. And then you just request membership, and one of the moderators has to approve it. But the only reason that they don't approve membership in the groups that I run is because something about the person appears fishy. You know, for example, there's people who play games, you know, that they'll use a picture of a cute girl hoping that that'll grab people's attention. Or they'll, you know, do something else that's what sort of hiding their identity, but they're up to no good.
Yeah.
And so my moderators will look at the person's profile, and, you know, if the person has no picture and has no post, you know, they're probably just spamming somehow, you know, maybe. Not always, but, you know, if you're in business, you should expose who you are, you know.
Yeah.
And so my moderators do that. But that group is for where people who have big ticket affiliate products list their product, and they most of them do have some type of sales contest. So they can do that, or they can even find me on Facebook. Just type my name in, Willie Crawford. They'll find me and ask me how to join the group. There's another one group I created called Affiliate Products Proven to Sell. And just as the name suggests, that's a place where people can announce products, but the rule is that the products have to already be selling well. You know, it can't, maybe it's a re-release or something, but they're supposed to be members are supposed to share with each other products that they promoted that sold well, and that can be their own product too, but it could also be somebody else's product. That's the idea behind the group, and so the moderators there are also looking at when somebody applies, because it requires approval too, they're looking at how real you appear to them. You know, again, they're trying to avoid spammers, and in fact, if you join the group and all you start doing is posting links to products you're promoting, but they aren't affiliate opportunities, your links will be deleted at first, and if you keep doing it, you'll be deleted. And my moderators do a really, really good job in that group. Xavier Nelson's one of my better moderators. He welcomes people to the group and makes them feel at home, and if they get out of hand, he or I, if I notice, we kibosh them, because we want to protect the integrity of the group and keep people on target, on purpose. So those are three places I would recommend looking for products where there are sales contests. And I'm on Facebook again. You could just send me a private message. Just type my name in, Willie Crawford, in the little search box up top. You'll find me. And you can send me a private message, and I can point you to other resources there on Facebook.
Okay. Good deal. I've got a couple more points here, a couple more things, but well, it's almost time for my grandson to start playing, so I'm going to try to wind this up real quick.
Okay.
Look, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us and share some of your most guarded secrets, I'm sure. But are there any closing thoughts that you could add to what we've already covered?
More reminders than closing thoughts, but one is that the importance of focusing on one launch at a time, because otherwise you're sort of spreading yourself thin, and it's that concentrated firepower that's going to get you to the top of the leaderboard for any given launch. And so one launch at a time, offer bonuses with a high perceived value, something that people really want, you know, and with the bonuses of software has a higher perceived value than, say, an ebook or a report. Courses, for some people like video, people like audios too, but it's got to be on, you know, some hot topic. And so those are easy to do. They don't cost you a lot. You know, you just let them download those things, and they'll make a difference in your sales. And then really it's just deciding you're going for it. That's almost metaphysical or law of attraction, where you look at some contest and you say, I'm going to place in that contest. I'm going to be in the top 10 or the top 15. And then you just focus on it. And, you know, you fall asleep thinking about it, and you wake up thinking about it, and you'll get all kinds of crazy ideas to help you to win that contest. So it's really just focusing on it.
Okay, so do I have to ask what's going to be the next prize that you win?
I'm really, really, really focused on that 100K prize. It takes a lot of sales, not a lot. It takes a lot of concentration, but it's doable. So that's the one I'm focused on right now. It'd be neat to be, it's a prize where the person requires a minimum number of sales to win, but he doesn't restrict it to one winner. So as many people as want to can qualify for it. They just got to meet the sales requirement. And so, I'd like to be the first person to qualify for that.
Well, there's no doubt that somebody's going to do it.
No, there's no doubt. Oh. Because it is a really, really good product, and it's selling well now already, and yet nobody has placed or has won that prize yet.
Well, that's right. So, they've got to make so many sales
it wouldn't make sense for the product owner to give the prize out, you know, without that restriction, because he could go broke doing that.
Exactly. Yeah, I sat here and blanked out for a second. Well, look, I really do appreciate you taking time to talk with me. I know you're real busy. We're all busy these days. Sometime I'd like to nail you down sometime in the future to talk about how you built your relationship with your friends on Facebook.
Sure.
I've noticed that, you know, whenever you make a post, you know, you've got a bunch of people like your, you know, they like your, they'll click the like button, they make comments and all that. And aside from, I mean, you came in to Facebook probably like all of us. Nobody knew who Willie Crawford was. Now you're one of the most popular people on there. So I want to do that interview here before long, if we can.
Sure, sure. That's all about engaging your audience, though. It's about, you know, I'm there, I'm selling things, but I've got to connect with people.
Right.
So you know, let's, you post things that touch them on an emotional level and things like that. Yeah, we can make that.
Let's save that for a. Let's do that soon if we can.
Okay. All right. We'll plan on doing that.
I'm going to let you go then and get over here and watch that boy play baseball. I will be hollering at you on Facebook, and of course we talk on Skype. Thank you very much, Willie. And unless you've got something else to add, I'm going to call that good.
Okay. Thank you a lot, Michael. And you take care.
All right. Good night.
Good night.